Danny, before I click? Okay. James chapter 3 this morning. I'm not going to be singing that for you. Okay, good. Thank you. Someone made a comment to me, Paul, about a few months ago, and saying that you know, we hear you singing and you have a higher voice, and then when you come to Pastor Darren speak, we have to have our volumes lower because my voice is lower. I don't know. Just thought I'd tell that. I don't know why. Just okay. We're on. All righty. Good. oops. Okay. So I recently read a comment this week. Someone wrote this, and they said this. They said, if somebody had paid you $10 for every kind word you ever spoke about other people, and they also collected $5 from you from every unkind word, would you be in the black or would you be in the red? Would you be rich or would you be poor? Words. Unbridled power that we have. You remember saying when you were a kid, and I remember when I was a kid, I remember this, sticks and stones would break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you heard that when you were a kid? Raise your hand. Let me see. Raise it high. Don't be afraid. Did you hear it before? Yes? Yes? You can smile. It's okay. Yeah? Yeah? You heard it? That is the biggest lie in the world. I just want to let you know that. We can rip. I know. We can rip to pieces a person by what we say. And so in James chapter 3, he addresses this issue. And it's talking about our speech, our tongue. If you have James 3, let's begin in verse 1. It said, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. But when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are sheared by steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself sets on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we can curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the privilege that we have to look in the James chapter 3 this morning. And I pray, Father, that you give me the wisdom and the direction of how to share what you've allowed me to prepare for this morning. And Lord, may my words and may the meditation of all of our hearts this morning be pleasing. And may we just not just hear this in our minds and take it into our hearts, but apply it into our lives. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've said before that the main theme of the book of James is a mature believer is one who has real faith that produces genuine works. Or in other words, we say that your walk needs to match your talk. And in the third chapter of this letter, James goes right to the point. And he goes in and brings up the issue of one of the biggest problems in the Christian life. And the problem is of the tongue, of our speech. And the problem is not localized or dated, but it is one that's universally faced, both the brilliant and the foolish throughout time. And all around the world, people have written much about this subject, but have done very little to control or curb all its misuses. And I believe that as we look into this passage this morning of James chapter 3, we need to ask God to rivet this truth that we just looked at into our hearts, into our skulls, into our minds, into our conscience, into our hearts, and into our attitudes. And I believe that understanding this will expose ourselves to this powerful passage that James is talking about, because I think we all have this issue. We all struggle with this. Okay? None of us are immune to this. We all struggle with our speech. So this pound of flesh that we have in our mouth is more lethal of a weapon than even a gun. And we definitely need instructions on how to use it. And I believe James right here is providing that for us right at the very beginning here. In James chapter 1, look again, it says this. It says, not many of you presume to be teachers. Now, the reason he starts right off with teachers and he's talking about talkers will be because they are going to be giving more of an account at the day of judgment when they meet the Lord for what they say than those who are learners and listeners. Because the teacher has a great responsibility. We can teach you the truth or we can teach you what's false. Standing up here and me speaking, and you can ask our elder Jerry too, because I've talked to him a few times about it, is that this is a great responsibility. Because not only am I sharing it to you 40 people that are sitting here in this room, but we're also on the internet. And who knows, hundreds of thousands of people who are actually hearing what we speak about. And it's not just the English service, it's not just me, it's not just the fact that, I'm the pastor, because it's anyone who speaks on radio or on television or anything, what they say impacts people's lives. And many times, once we say it, we can't take it back. So that's why being a speaker here and sharing the truth is a great responsibility. And it is not only a great privilege, but we have a responsibility to share the truth. And so James here tells us two important things about the tongue, about our speech that we want to look at. And I hope that you follow along in your, I keep forgetting what color that is, but I think it's pink. But anyway, pretty close to it, okay? So follow along in your outline as we talk about the tongue and how to tame that tongue of ours, okay? The first thing we want to talk about is the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. And a couple of things here in the beginning of verses 1 to 5 we see about the power of the tongue is, first of all, though it's small, but it's controllable. Nice try, Caleb. James was telling those in the church not to run quickly into the role of teaching, because teachers will incur a stricter judgment than their students. And God's going to look at people like myself or anyone else who does and teach the Word of God to make sure that and see, did we teach the right thing? Okay? And we try to put ourselves maybe in a judgment saying that, if we make a mistake, God understands. Yes, He does understand. But once you've said it, in many times, it's not going to be brought back. So you need to make sure that you prayerfully think before you teach whatever it is. That's why teachers have a great responsibility, okay? One commentator wrote this. He said that there's several reasons that one commentator wrote. He said that a few things here about teachers and they teach. The first one is that because the teacher is responsible to teach the truth and not their own opinions. Very important. Especially when you're teaching the Word of God, it is my responsibility to teach what the Scripture says. And all of our leaders who share, not just here, but in Sunday school. Not just in Sunday school, but in Bible study. Not just in Bible study, but in fellowship meetings. Not just in Bible studies in Sunday school, but also in discipleship ministry as well. We have a great responsibility. A second, because of that which a teacher teaches affects many lives. And you know, I'm always conscious of the fact that I'm not just talking about to the 40 plus people that are in this sanctuary, but it's also those who decide to click on and say, I want to listen to that MP3. And then also too, because the teacher is expected to live the truth they live, they teach. And basically, it is my responsibility to talk, to walk what I'm telling you. It's very key. Look at what James again says, continuing on. He says that, we all stumble in many ways. Okay? Now, that's interesting. We all stumble in many ways. We all have that, okay? By using the word we, James is including himself as well, okay? And he's also, we all are involved in this. And then he also says this. He says that if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So what he's saying, that a controlled tongue indicates maturity. An uncontrolled tongue indicates immaturity. Look again in verse 2, because it says that James is saying that a controlled tongue indicates we have self-control. You see, look at that. It says that he's able to keep his whole body in check. So that means as a mature person, we're able to know how to control our tongues, how to control our actions, how to control our emotions, how to think before we do something. And that's what James is saying here. As a matter of fact, if an individual can control his tongue, he's able to control everything else in his life. And I think we all fall short of that. That's why we need the help of God. But the tongue is very powerful. And James attacks the most important value in our life that we need to learn to control, and that's our speech and our tongue. Another one is this, is that though small, it's powerful. Now, if you compare your tongue to your arms and your body, it's pretty small. Now, you know, just recently, my family and I, we had, I think we did, my family, anyway, we had cow tongue. And before we ate the cow tongue, we saw the tongue. It's a big piece of material in the body, right? But you think about our tongue. Our tongue isn't as big. But you compare that to our own body, and it's really small. And so the thing it's saying is that even though it's small, it has great power. It has great potential of helping someone or hurting someone because of our speech. And James even uses three different illustrations to show that even though it is powerful, a little thing can still turn it. And our tongue does that. Like a horse. You look at a horse, big, massive animal. You sit on the animal, and just by turning this, it controls where the horse's body goes. If you ever chance to ride on a ship, a little rudder moves this big ship. Now, of course, James' day, they used a lot more of the wind and sailing, but today we use motor and solar energy and all this kind of stuff to run our boat motors, but still, the rudder is still a small thing in comparison to the ship. And then he also gives an illustration about a fire. Just a small spark can cause a terrible forest fire. So just little things like that could have power. And what are we getting at here with these illustrations? And I believe that James is telling us and pointing out, although seemingly inconsequential because of its size, the tongue's potential to influence and destroy is far-reaching, and depending on how we use it, we can use it for good or we can use it for bad. So what we're saying here is that, and what we're doing, what we do not say here, are both important. The proper speech is not only saying the right words at the right time, it is also controlling our desire to say what we should say. So, example of an untamed tongue. An untamed tongue includes like gossip. It could also include belittling somebody. It could mean cursing. For some of you who don't know what that is, because it's a little older term, colorful metaphors. Bragging, manipulating, false teaching, exaggerating, complaining, flattering, and the biggie, lying. Before speaking, we should always ask, is this what we really want to say? Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? These are the same words I ask myself before I come and speak to you every Sunday morning. The words that I say, is it helpful? You know, as a child, my dad used to always tell me something that always reminded me of this when I was a small child, and I still have it in my head today. And I'm trying to encourage that to my children too. But I'm sharing it with all of you this morning. He said this, think before you speak. Why? Think before you speak. And that's so important. We need to think before we speak. Do we think before we speak this morning? Even when you say something to somebody, do you think? Watch what you say. But not only is it the power of the tongue, but also, too, we want to look at the poison of the tongue. And you know what poison is, right? First thing you think about poison is, oh, to kill the bugs or to kill whatever, right? But the tongue can be poison, too. And so James even talks about that in verses 6 to 12 and how the tongue can be a dangerous thing. A couple things here. First of all, an uncontrollable tongue can do great harm. An uncontrolled tongue can do great harm. Consider the four parallels that a fire has with words spoken by the tongue. It hurts, a fire spreads, a fire consumes, but when it's in control, it keeps us warm, doesn't it? And so it only takes one false bitter word to hurt deeply someone. In fact, the hurt may be so deep that that person can never recover from what you just said. Just like a fire, it spreads. And so you may say a word and you thought you said it to a person and you don't think they're going to share it, but all of a sudden, that word starts spreading just by our speech. It consumes. So do words spoken by a tongue that lies within its path. They may say things that may not be true. Words, too, have been known to destroy careers and lives. I mean, if you want a good example, we're coming up to an election year. And sometimes the media could use exact words to destroy individuals. But we who know Jesus Christ as Savior need to think solemnly about this matter so our tongues are not used as a disadvantage to others, but it's to help encourage others. I like what Proverbs 18:21 says. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So think of it. The power of death and life resides in what you say. Just like the king, remember, or Herod or some of the other ones, they had the authority by just what they said to keep Jesus alive or sent him to death. That's what it is. The words that we say. And the last phrase in that verse especially applies to those who spread gossip. And those who love talking and love to say all kinds of things, they eat of its fruit. We need to be careful. But not only is an uncontrolled tongue can do great harm, but second of all, an inconsistent tongue is unnatural. Now, it's not strange that the tongue can be praising God one moment and then slandering someone else the next. The moment, often right in church, where the tongue has been used to praise God, we can go right outside and say something negative about somebody else. We may even hear a speaker or someone slander somebody. You know, but before we leave, we will say concerning others, and we'll give excuses of all those things. we have to be very careful of what we say, because such inconsistencies are not found in the nature, especially in our new nature that God has given to us. When we received Him as our Savior and we're complete in Him, we shouldn't be thinking those things. Okay? So, like the illustration talking about the river or the spring, it doesn't come out bitter as well as sweet waters. Our mouth should not do the same as well. And remember, the tongue speaks only what is in the heart. Godly words can come only from a godly heart. But when we have our hearts corrupted, when our hearts are corrupt, it comes out. In fact, in many ways, you know, we must know our position in Christ, and we must count upon it as being true because it is true. And because we know our truth and we know our position, then we need to remember that we are complete in Christ. And because we're complete in Christ, we do not have to follow the world's language. We don't have to speak the way the world does. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that you have to use, well, since I use a King James Bible, I need to start speaking in the King James Version. Like, how art thou? Thou must go. You know? But what I'm saying is that we don't have to use the colorful metaphors that our world does. Just the other day, I was in a grocery store, and they were playing Sirius XM Radio. And, you know, I was kind of going like, wow. Sorry, serious? Okay, sorry. But it was amazing how I was standing there at that store, and even the radio jockey or whatever, I think I counted the first, I had to stop paying attention, because every sentence he had used a word that either started with an F or an S or an A. Okay? And all those, and you're kind of going like, wait a minute. Here we are in a public store, and that's all they talk about, and no one seems to be bothered by it. But that is how our world has become. And we're so used to saying, you know, there's certain words in our vernacular that, you know, we want to fit in. Like at school, I remember when I was in school, and I went to public school, and, you know, they would say all these things, and I would say, man, I want to fit in, so I'll start using those same words too. And you're kind of going like, is that really you, though? Is that you in Christ? And I venture to say that in the Scriptures, that's not what it tells us. Words comes from our thoughts, and the thoughts come from the mind. Therefore, it is possible to control our words by controlling our minds. And that is why I'm a big believer in having quiet times. I'm a big believer in reading His Word. I'm also a believer in memorizing the Word. Okay? And that's why it's so important to know the Word of God and to read it, because it helps us to control this, to help this, so that when we say something, it won't come out wrong. So we who know Jesus Christ our Savior can have our minds controlled. Because in 2 Corinthians, okay, the button's not working. Got it. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Our minds, our thoughts, He alone is worthy and is able to give us victory. He's not just there just to save us so that we know that if something happens to us and we go and pass on, that we have eternal insurance. He's here to help us today. You know, so today's contemporary wisdom says that people should assert themselves, say what they feel, speak out rather than strife, than be stifled, okay? There are many rationalizations for the unrestrained use of tongue. And I'm probably sure we've probably said some of these comments here before, and probably even thought of it. And I'm sure we've heard it. But these are some statements that we think we could use and it's all right. And we justify it. I mean, words like this, like, somebody had to tell them. You know? Or, it was good to get it off my chest. I don't care what they think, but at least I feel free. Is that right? Because the scripture tells us that we ought to what? Love one another, care for others before ourselves. And sometimes when we get it, say something we shouldn't say, it hurts somebody. How about this one? I sure gave her a piece of my mind. Get it right. Yeah. Right? Or maybe what I said will do that person good. That's a more Christian spiritual way of saying something, you know, to cover up what we say. Or I felt better saying it. Our society encourages us to speak out our thoughts in a thoughtless way, totally disregarding the deadly impact of our words that we may have. And Christ's attitude is for us to deal with our anger and our frustration honestly and maturely. And that's what James is talking about here. He is talking about how we need to deal with it, and we need to learn restraint, and we need to learn to think of others, and we need to learn to be able to control it as mature people. So instead of making excuses for sounding off, we can exercise restraint and allow God's peace, wisdom, and guidance in what we say. And let me just say this too. We're now in a time of internet, mass media, social networking. And just because we don't say it, we can type it or we can text it. And we need to be very careful of how we say things, because that hurts people as well. And saying something about someone else when maybe that other person didn't say it will hurt somebody too. So we need to be very careful, not just our speech, but also our fingers. So we need to be careful. And so what we've learned is that what it can do, the tongue, can be used for great good, but an uncontrolled tongue can do great harm. And to be inconsistent is unnatural for a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you are here this morning and you say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a committed follower, you believe in him, then we need to take what he said back earlier in James chapter 1. Be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to speak. When we do speak, do not be inconsistent. Do not do harm to others, and do what is good to build up one another in Christ. This world today, we have so many discouraged people. We have so many depressed people. We have so many people that's going through emotional hardship. And what they need today is to hear about our truth, of our positive message of what Jesus Christ can do for you. The tongue is a powerful but poisonous thing that we have to deal with. And so let me ask you this question. What springs out of our mouth? What springs out of your mouth? Can we go to your work, your school, your home, and ask with honesty, the speech that you say, the things that you say, is it encouraging or is it destroying? Think about that. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege of being here. And I know, Lord, that I've spoken a message that probably affects all of us, including myself. And Lord, I thank you for helping me in sharing your word this morning. And I know, Lord, that all of us deal with it. And Lord, if there's anything or any sin that we may have done or hurt somebody because of our speech, help us to take a moment, first of all, to ask for your forgiveness. And then asking you, how can I make it right with somebody else? Maybe you've said something that actually destroyed an individual's confidence. Maybe we've said something that just hurts real deeply, that it's hard to overcome. And I'm sure we've all done it. Take a few moments now where you're seated. and ask the Lord, is there anyone that I've hurt that I need to get right? Man up, woman up. If there's someone, don't be afraid. Bring it to the Lord. Because as a Christian, we need to make it right. How can we worship God when there's things like that hindering us from worshiping His name? So take a few moments now and just pray. Pray, and if you still want to continue to pray when Paul and the worship team leads us singing, because you still want to talk to the Lord and get something right, please feel free to do that. But the whole purpose is that we need to get it right before God because of our speech. Father, I pray for each person, including myself. I pray, Lord, that they would get it right before you. And, Lord, knowing that our speech can hurt, but it can also help. And I pray, Father, that you help all of us to watch what we speak, how we say it, to think before we speak. And so, Father, I pray for each heart this morning. I pray for, including myself, that, Lord, we will take this message that we just heard, passage from James 3, to heart. That, Lord, we would learn to control the tongue. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. We also pray, Father, for the offering that we'll be receiving in a few moments as well. Pray, Father, that you would just also bless those who give. And that you'd help the church to use it for your glory. In your Son's name. If you're ready to worship,